Today is the last day of the month of August. August the 31st. We'll be starting up in September tomorrow. But today, we want to go into lesson number 9. Lesson number 9 in our study from the book of Nehemiah. This has been a great study in the book of Nehemiah. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. We're looking at Nehemiah chapter number 7 today. The title of the lesson is Act Wisely. Act Wisely. You know, the wisest man that we have record of on this earth was named Solomon. And he wrote some things in the book of Proverbs that I want to share with you today as we look at this lesson. He wrote in there in Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 2. He said, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. We see that in our world today, don't we? When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. In that same chapter, Proverbs chapter 29, I want you to go down to verse 16. And look what he wrote. He said, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth. But the righteous shall see their fall. He gave hope there, didn't he? And you know, Solomon's father, King David, said this in the book of Psalms, chapter 33, verse 12. He said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, David wrote that. And you know, Solomon again wrote in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. He said, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, I believe that all of these verses that we're looking at here in the book of Proverbs, these verses in Psalms, I think God put them there to help you and I to be the right kind of leaders, not only in our home, but in our city, in our county, our government, and the things that we do for God. Whatever we do for God, we ought to remember these verses, how that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. You know, God blesses righteousness. But his wrath comes down on that which is wicked and vile and messed up. And I'm telling you today, God's mercy, I thank God for God's mercy upon our nation. Boy, our nation has turned its back on God. And oh, how we must have broken the heart of God. But you know what? Israel did the same thing. Israel is doing the same thing now. Man, they've turned their backs on God. They think their power is in themselves. And folks, it's not. There's no power in ourselves. Nehemiah, as God used him to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and to rebuild the walls, God gave him wisdom. He gave him instruction. He gave him wisdom that goes beyond anything that you'll find in any book other than the Word of God. And God used Nehemiah in a great way. We saw last week how he had set up the walls and he set up all the things that he did. But then he began to put people in the right places, the right people in the right places of leadership. And today as we look at this lesson, I want us to see some things here today. Had God not only used Nehemiah to complete the job he had set before him in rebuilding these walls, but God gave him wisdom to provide the proper leadership in the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was to have a testimony for the Lord. It was the city where God said, my name shall be here. This is where I'm going to be exalted. But folks, listen to me. It is righteousness that exalteth a nation. Why? Because sin is a reproach to any people. And as Nehemiah worked on this, he prayed and asked God for wisdom on this. This chapter 7 shows us how that he chose people to be in leadership that were qualified because of their love for God. Now, I want us to look at this today. With all the work that had been accomplished, with all the work that had been done in rebuilding and completing the walls and rebuilding the city, Nehemiah recognized the fact that there was still a lot of work that needed to be done. And it needed to be done so as to protect and to preserve the safety and the security of their city and those people that were residing within the walls of that city. And so God reminded Nehemiah of the job that he had to do. He had to pick the right people. And I believe that Nehemiah truly waited on God, and he trusted God to provide the leadership here. Listen, we're coming up on 30 years with our pastor, Pastor Belcher, being our senior pastor at this church. And you folks, I was not here then, but you folks prayed and you asked God to give the right man for the job. Can you imagine what this ministry would be like if you had the wrong man? It could probably be like a lot of the other places around us that have gone contemporary. They've changed their Bibles. They've dropped their convictions. They've changed their standards on sin and things like that. I've watched how that churches around us, churches over our nation. Listen, we were up in Ohio and West Virginia. We went through Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, West Virginia again, Pennsylvania again, Ohio. And we saw all these different churches and things everywhere, but very few doing anything for God. Very few doing anything for God. God wanted his city to be exalted and to be remembered by his name. And that's the desire that Nehemiah had in his heart. And Nehemiah, as he looked at these things, my heart was reminded of a verse. I want you to look at it just a moment. In Revelation chapter 3, verse number 11. In Revelation chapter number 3, we read how the Lord Jesus instructed the church of Philadelphia. And he said something here. He said, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." What God has given unto us, we need to hold on to. Amen. That which God has blessed us with, we need to hold on to that. We need to continue to tell folks about Christ. Listen, I was talking to a man and he said, "Oh, yeah, that's easy for y'all because y'all got a big church and y'all got all these people and all this stuff." And I said, "Listen, if you went back and read the history of our church, started out in 1966, 1967, was just a handful of people that wanted to do what was right. They got away from denominationalism and they got their hearts planted in the Word of God. And they said, you know what? We want a church where people can come and hear the Word of God, preached from the Word of God. We want it to be a church that's open to anybody and everybody that will come." They named it Church of the Open Door because Christ is that open door. And folks, you listen to me today. What God has done here, he's done it many other places as well. But these folks did not start this church to begin a big church. The church, this classroom that we're sitting in right now, this was the church building that was finally built. It all faced that direction. The baptistry was up there and the choir was up there. And you'll see these little ridges in the floor. That's where the pews used to sit. Not these pews, but the sitting pews, okay? All right. All right. But this is where it used to be. And you know what? They determined they were going to reach their community with the gospel. So they began telling folks about Christ and telling folks how to be saved and giving out the message of the Word of God. And you know what? All through the years, that has remained the theme of this church, of reaching this community with the message of the gospel. This church is not here to make itself to be big. Listen, that's not our job. Folks, our job is to be messengers of the gospel.
Amen.
Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And God is the one that has built it, because our people remain steadfast, holding that which is our job to do. And what is that job? It's to take the message of the gospel everywhere. Everywhere. We're not bringing in bands to bring a crowd. We're not changing and having a Bible of the Month club, okay? So it pleases the people, or some college somewhere where somebody graduated from, to say, oh, we're following this man, this man, this man. We're not doing that. We're following this book. Amen. Amen. And Nehemiah said, you know what? We've got to establish leadership that will honor God's word. Be faithful to do what God says do. Forget what man says. Do what God says. And that's where we are here in chapter number 7. And I want you to see this. In chapter number 7, Nehemiah wisely appointed new leaders in this city. And we see this in Nehemiah chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Look at it with me. In these two verses, he said, now it came to pass, when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. For he was a faithful man and feared God above many. Now back in chapter number 6, verse 1, the doors and the gates had not yet been set up. But here in chapter 7, after Nehemiah saw the animosity that Tobias and Sanballat had toward what they were doing, toward the protection of the city, all the enemies of God had come up against them. These things were very important to get done. So they got the doors set up. They got the locks set up. And as I read the first two verses of chapter 7 here, I thought of a few verses from, again, from the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs. And I want us to look at these verses. I'm going to share these with you today. Psalm chapter 127, verse 1. Psalm chapter 127, verse 1 said this, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that built it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. I want you to also look at Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 10. We read these words. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. In chapter 29 of the book of Proverbs, verse number 8, we read here how that scornful men bring a city into a snare. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. Wise men turn away wrath. Now I want you to think about something here today. God is using Nehemiah. Nehemiah has planted his heart in the Word of God, and he has kept his relationship close to God for discernment, for wisdom in establishing the city. And no doubt, Nehemiah had questions for God. God turned him to the Word of God. God gave him instruction. And you know what? Nehemiah was willing to follow that instruction. Amen? You and I need to do the same thing as leaders today. As spiritual leaders, we need to be willing to do what God says do. And we need to do it God's way. God's way. Listen, in the New Testament, book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, verse 2, Paul told Timothy, he said, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men, who shall what? Be able to teach others also." You know what God is looking at? God is looking at faithful, God-fearing leadership. He's looking for men and women that will be willing to lead according to this book. And they'll be willing to place their faith and trust in the Lord God in leading people the right direction. Neither Nehemiah nor the Apostle Paul were only thinking about their present generation. You know what they were thinking about? They were thinking about the generation to come. And that's why you and I have to be faithful today. And we need to teach this next generation that's coming up. Listen, it all came from God. That's where I want you to see this next point. Hanani is the first leader chosen by Nehemiah here in verse number 2. Look at it. "I gave my brother Hanani charge over Jerusalem." And again, I want you to remember the words of King Solomon, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2. "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice." When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. In that same chapter again, verse number 16, I read it a few minutes ago. "When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth." Are we not seeing that in our world today, in our cities around us today? And you know what? People that don't give a hoot about serving God are in leadership, and they're drawing people away from God. Sin is coming just dominant in everything. And nobody cares. Nobody is watching. Nobody is standing up against that. Now, some folks may have thought that Nehemiah was being prejudiced here and taking his own brother and, "Oh, you're just biased in your opinion of choosing him because he's your brother." But I want to remind you today, if you go back to Nehemiah chapter 1, it was Hanani, his brother, who first came to Nehemiah with the burden of this beloved city. And Nehemiah, as cupbearer to the king, looked at his brother and said, "Wow, how's it going with the people? How's it going with the city?" And Hanani's heart was broken when he told him how the city was in destruction. And the people were just turned away. They were mocked and being ridiculed. You know what? It was Hanani who came and told him of the plight of the city of Jerusalem. It was Hanani who told him the situation of the people and how the people were so discouraged that were there in chapter number 1. This man had a burden for the city of God as well as for the people of God. And Nehemiah said, "You know what? A man that's got a burden is a man that can be used of God." And so he chose him as his first choice in leadership in Jerusalem. Then look at verse 2 also. He also chose a second man, Hananiah. And I want you to look at this. He becomes the second man that Nehemiah appointed as a leader. Verse 2, "I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. For he was a what? A faithful man and feared God above many." You know what? If I read the Word of God correctly, Proverbs chapter number 1, verse number 7 said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." The Bible goes on and says, "But fools despise wisdom and instruction." In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the Bible said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." And you know what? I believe God wanted Nehemiah to choose faithful men because unfaithful men are more of a burden than anything. You say, "Preacher, how could you ever say that?" Let me tell you what the Bible said. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs again, chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 19. I want you to look at this. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You know what he's saying? He's saying it's a painful situation. Man, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And boy, they were definitely in a time of trouble, were they not? You see, a man who is faithful is a man that God will utilize in leadership if they'll make themselves available to God. Faithfulness is something that God wants each of us to be able to do. He wants each of us to be able to do this. Now, the thing that I look at with this lesson, it's a fact that this man was willing to be faithful in the small things so that God could use him in the big things. You know what? If you're not going to be faithful in the little things, then you're not going to be faithful in the big things. Folks say, well, why didn't the preacher call me to do this? I'm here once a month. You know, I can do that on that one Sunday I'm here. God needs some faithful men. Every day. And you know what? Not only did Nehemiah wisely appoint and choose new leaders for this city, but Nehemiah wisely counseled the new guards that would guard that city. Look at verse number 3. You know what? These guards had a position. That was not just to carry a sword, okay? I know a lot of guys, they get their concealed carry, and boy, they feel big and tough because they got a conceal and carry. They carry their weapon. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. But you know what? That's not what these guys were doing. They didn't conceal and carry their swords, okay? You know what they were doing? They were protecting their city. They were protecting their city. And look what the Bible said in verse number 3. And I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, every one in his watch, and every one to be over against his house. Nehemiah gave Hanani and Hananiah specific training and instruction as to how to properly supervise and maintain the safety and protection through these new porters. He wanted the city to be protected. He wanted these new leaders to regard the city's safety from enemy attacks as a serious issue. Hey, I'm thankful for a president today that would say, you know what? I want our nation's capital to be something that other nations look at and admire and can feel safe going through. Man, I tell you what, I never drive in Washington. Good grief. I don't want to do it. I don't want to park there and pay $30 for 30 minutes, let alone walk down some of the streets we had to walk to get to the Capitol building, because you saw everything. We would go down to the metro station, Shady Grove. I'm hungry this morning. I think about Shady Maple. We'd go down to Shady Grove and park our car and ride the metro. And we'd take the metro in and go different places and then take the metro back. And I would make sure I was sitting beside my wife because of some of the folks that just rode on the metro. Correct. Down in there. Correct. I didn't want anything to happen to her. And listen, these folks said, hey, we're going to guard this city. We're going to keep our city safe. And I want you to see here how the gatekeepers were instructed, okay? He said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them. Now, since there were still not a lot of people living in Jerusalem as of yet, we see here in verse number 4, look what he said. Now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. So it was important for these folks to make sure they knew who was coming in. Somebody didn't sneak in and steal out of those houses and go in and just take things that weren't theirs. So they protected this city. Look down at the rest of that verse. The city guards were also appointed and instructed in their duties. Look at what it said. And he said, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch, and everyone to be over against his house. You know what this is a picture of? The first neighborhood watch that was ever there. You find it right here in the book of Nehemiah. The first neighborhood watch. He said, you appoint folks to watch over your houses, your cities, your gates. And Nehemiah showed wisdom in appointing watchmen that would guard their own neighborhoods and guard and protect their homes and their families in which they lived. There weren't a lot of them, but they wanted to make sure that they watched over things. Again, I believe with all my heart, he remembered the words of Solomon. Solomon said this in Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. You know what? The prudent man is watching. He's thinking ahead. He's guarding against those things that could happen. He's there to protect his family. And then Nehemiah wisely strategized a new population. Now, I'm not going to go through all of these verses today. I don't have time. And you don't have time to listen to me suffer through these names. All right? But 90 years before Nehemiah's return to Jerusalem, 90 years before that, the man of God, Zerubbabel, had taken a census of the original returnees, okay, to the city. And he had kept all that. And we read about it in the book of Ezra. You can read about it in Ezra chapter number 2. As I read through that chapter and some of the other things here, Nehemiah found that census that was taken. And he read through it and he began to repopulate the city according to that information. Not just for their present situation, but for the future and the new folks that would be coming into that city and that would reside there. And he said here in chapter number 7, Nehemiah chapter 7, verses 4 through 7, now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. And my God put into my heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers and the people, that they might be reckoned by genealogy. And I found a register of the genealogy of them that came up at the first, and found written therein, these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity, of those that had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away, and came again to Jerusalem and to Judah, every one unto his own city, who came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Azariah, Rehemiah, Nahamani, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mizpareth, Bigvi, Nehum, but the number, I say, of these men of the people of Israel was this. And then we begin to see the list of the families and the communities that came in, verses 8 through 38. Again, I'm not going to go through all of these names, but these were broken up into several categories. And in verses 8 through 25, when you look at this listing of families and their groups and things like that, some of these were listed by their original communities. And others were listed by their various professions and the vocations that they did, the jobs that they did. But each was seen and known by God for their faithfulness as God had desired for them to be. Now, you know what? You read this chapter and you say, man, I'm not reading all that. That's just a bunch of names. These names were important to God. They were important enough because they were faithful, and God made record of that. And folks, you listen to me today. You may think, oh, I don't do much for God. I can't do a whole lot for God. But God is keeping record. And you know what? God is the one that says, I know their faithfulness. I know what they've done. And God knew these people, every one of them. And he went through here. In verses 39 through 73, we see a list of the professionals and these vocationalists, okay? We see the priests who were called by God in verses 39 through 42. Verse 43, we have a list of all those who are Levites. In verse 44, we have a list of the singers. In verse 45, we see those porters who kept the gates. Verses 46 through 56, we see all the temple servants. They were called Nethinims. And in verses 57 through 61, we see all those who are listed to be children of Solomon's servants. Man, that goes back a ways. And God blessed and put their names in there. Verses 61 through 62, we see all the descendants of Deliah and Tobiah and Nakoda. In verses 63 through 65, we see all those who were considered to be undocumented because they could not prove their ancestral line. Okay? But this caused many that may have been qualified to serve as priests not to be able to serve because they could not prove their genealogy. I want you to understand something. God had qualifications for the people that he chose to do the job that he wanted to be done. God has qualifications today for the man of God, for the servants of God. But it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. And you know what? These folks were faithful. The sad thing today is in many churches today, we got these mama called and daddy sent preachers that don't care about doing what God says do. They just want to please the people. Like Saul, King Saul. And God took away his leadership and gave it to a man who was after God's own heart. A little shepherd boy named David. God used him. And you know what? God used Nehemiah to establish strong leadership in this city. Why? Because God had a plan for this city to remain the city of God. Amen? The city of God. Now listen, if you want to be used of God in leadership, you've got to be willing to do things God's way. Amen? And I would encourage you, get in the Word of God and stay in the Word of God. Do what God said do. Nehemiah determined whatever happened, he was going to do things the way that God wanted him to do. And that's what I would encourage you to do today too. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Our time is up. Father, I love you and I thank you, God, for this amount of time we've had today. And Lord, though I know our time was short in the class, Lord, I know that these lessons will be a help to the people that will allow the Word of God to speak to their hearts. And Lord, to give us the examples of true leadership. Lord, Nehemiah was a man of God that chose to trust you. And I pray, dear God, that you'll help us to do the same today, to trust you, to stay in your Word. And Father, I pray, God, you'll use us to be great spiritual leaders. Help us, Lord, to be found faithful in all that we do. And Father, we'll thank you for it. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach. Father, we love you. Thank you, God, for this lesson. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today.